What's up, everyone? It's Johnny here with the Soulful Hunter Podcast. Going to do a little shout out for all you men out there and challenge you and ask you if you are looking for ways to go deeper and be around a group of men who are looking to find personal empowerment, emotional freedom, and redefine the legacy that you'll leave, then listen up. The Vulnerable Heroes Men's Retreat Weekend has 6 spots open for their VH2 class of guys. What to expect during these weekends is 2 4-day retreats that are 90 days apart. Participants must attend both to be able to join. You're going to be in a beautiful location of the Cascade Mountains, 2 hours outside of Seattle, Washington. You're going to be in small group coaching, go through exercises, personal growth sessions, and storytelling. Lodging, food, and activities such as fishing, hiking, games, and much, much more are included. You're going to be able to leave these weekends with the development of your personal legacy plan. You're going to have weekly group accountability check-ins, monthly coaching with trainer and coach Lucas Mack, membership to the private Vulnerable Hero Legacy community, and just be able to dig deeper within your own soul. For more information, go to www.lucasmack.com/retreats. That's LucasMack.com/retreats. So that you can find out more about the Vulnerable Heroes weekends and start to develop to become your own vulnerable hero. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Soulful Hunter Podcast. I am your host, Johnny Mack. Through this podcast, I am on a mission to transform lives through primal adventure and to spread my mission of mentorship is conservation. This podcast is powered by Washington Backcountry, a resource for all hunters new and old. To find out more about Washington Backcountry, go to wabackcountry.com or search for Washington Backcountry on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of the Soulful Hunter Podcast. Tonight, we are diving into Chapter 3 of the Why series with the wonderful and beautiful Jana Waller. Jana, thanks for joining us.
Oh, you're way too kind. Thank you for having me. It's always such a fun opportunity to get to chat with you.
These are always a highlight of my week. I'm like, oh, hey, it's on the calendar. I get to talk with Jana tonight. This is going to be a great time. So hopefully all our listeners are out there just eating this up and really getting a good foundation as to why we hunt and how to communicate that with everyone else that's out there. Tonight, we are diving into the topic of mentorship. And here at Washington Backcountry and the Soulful Hunter Podcast, we firmly believe and stand upon the idea that mentorship is conservation. So last week the last chapter that we released was, what is mentorship or what is conservation and why do we need it? Well, tonight we're talking about mentorship and how mentorship is a part of conservation because it's about building into that future and making sure that it lasts for generations to come. So first off, for everyone who doesn't really know Jana's history that much, even though she's been on the podcast a few times already, Jana, give us a little background as to how you learned how to hunt and your progression from there.
Yeah. Well, I was the second daughter born. My parents only had 2 kids, 2 daughters. And I say this as a joke, but there's a lot of truth behind it. I really think my dad was hoping so desperately for a boy. He didn't get one, but he turned me into one, is what I always say. My dad and I have always had a really special bond, but I really think a part of it is just sort of in your DNA. My sister was definitely more of a girly girl, played with dolls. You know, she was more quiet than I was. She was very intellectual. She was always in her room reading and, you know, just kind of into ballet. And I was always in the mud puddles, catching frogs, getting dirty, you know, always outside. They'd have to go, you know, I grew up in the country, 8 miles outside of town. So I was always playing outside in the woods. And I think my dad really saw in me at a young age a love of nature, and he was a hunter, a big bird hunter, actually, when I was young. And so when I was old enough to walk alongside of him, old enough to walk but, you know, old enough to learn not to complain and have him take me back home. I pheasant hunted, duck hunted, goose hunted with him in the duck blinds. And he just really mentored me, if you will. You know, I know that a lot of people, of course, get into hunting through their immediate family members. And I was one of those. My dad was smart enough to see how much I loved the great outdoors. He was also smart enough to really encourage me to go to hunter safety when I was 12 years old, even though I really wasn't into guns. You know, I'd shot a couple of BB guns and a little bit of shotgun, but when I, on the last day of hunter safety, and we went to the range and we shot clay pigeons, that was the first time I really shot more than one or two shots of a shotgun. And, but then my dad and I, when I was in sixth, seventh, and eighth grade, we took road trips from Wisconsin to South Dakota pheasant hunting. And I would be, you know, walking the fields with my dad and his buddies and just loving, even at that age, even at, you know, 13, 14, 15, I was just loving the be a part of everything. You know, I loving to walk the fields to, you know, jump up whitetails out of the corn while we're looking for pheasants. And, you know, you just get to experience so much while on a hunt that doesn't really have to do with killing. You know, that's kind of why my slogan's always been, it's about living, because hunting, you know, portrayed in the mainstream media, if you really took a good look at what movies portray hunters as, were, you know, a bunch of guys in our red flannel shirts chewing tobacco and spitting out the window and shooting deer from our pickup trucks, which is just so far from the truth. But if it weren't for my dad really seeing in me a love of nature, you know, not caring, you know, this is back in, I think I went through hunter safety in.
Easy there. You're dating yourself here.
It's okay. I'm proud of my age. 1983, I went through hunter safety. So there were not a lot of girl hunters back then. You know, and my dad, and I always kind of was a tomboy. In fact, this is really funny. On Instagram recently, I posted a picture of my first day in kindergarten, and I literally, my mom let me wear a full cowboy outfit. Red shirt, black pants, belt, black hat, and two handguns on my hips. That was my first day of kindergarten. And so I was a tomboy, but yet he really fostered that, you know, just to be yourself and to get into what you love. And I was really lucky, you know, super lucky.
Yeah.
And it is, it's important today. And I think today more than maybe the past two decades, I meet a lot of people who actually get into hunting who didn't grow up in a hunting family. You know, the social construct of our country is changing, you know, so much with technology. You know, when I was younger, all parents used to just kind of kick their kids outside, you know, on the evenings and on the weekends and say, go play, go figure something out. Yeah. It's not like that anymore. You know, kids always have a cell phone or a tablet or whatever in their hands, and kids are involved with eight different, you know, extracurricular activities. And it's just, it's not really like it was in the 70s and 80s.
It's not the same. I grew up where I was locked outside on the weekends. It was like, all right, you listen for a whistle to come home for lunch. And other than that, don't come home for till lunch. Before, and then you'll be coming home for dinner as well.
Yeah. You don't come home before the sun goes down. Yeah.
Right. So let me ask you this.
Sure.
Your dad taught you how to hunt. Uh-huh. If your dad would not have been a hunter and passed that down to you, do you think you would be where you are today?
I don't know. I mean, that's a good question. I really don't know. I would like to think so, but I'm not sure, because my family dynamic, I didn't have uncles that lived in the same town. I didn't, you know, I wasn't that close with my grandfathers, which, you know, sounds like I'm being sexist, but it is what it is. You know, I mean, that it used to be back in the day, all of our grandfathers hunted and our uncles, and it used to be the guy's thing to do. I mean, let's fix it, you know? Yep. And so I don't know. That's a great question. I don't know. But I do know that, like I said, I meet a lot of people that are getting into hunting who didn't grow up hunting, because of the need that companies and conservation groups, hunting companies and conservation groups, are seeing the need for this mentorship and getting people into our lifestyle who may not have been exposed to it before. You know, like the National Wild Turkey Federation is a group that does so much for mentoring people, not just youth. They do a lot of youth programs, as well as the Mule Deer Foundation does too. They have their Muley programs, but they do a lot towards mentorship, whether it's an adult or kids, of getting people into the field. And nowadays there's the mentorship programs in, I think it's in over 40 states now, where you can take a new hunter hunting that hasn't gone through hunter safety, as long as you are a licensed hunter and they are accompanying you. It's sort of to get them interested into the hunt, and so they can see what the hunt is all about. And it's because of programs like that, that the mentorship, mentoring is becoming easier to do.
Yeah, totally. So all of you listeners who do not know about this program, like here in the state of Washington, if you've been hunting a minimum of 3 years, then you are allowed to be technically, quote unquote, a mentor hunter to somebody who doesn't have to take hunter safety, as long as you are hunting with them the entire time. They are allowed to buy one license or whatever tags for 1 year and go out and hunt, as long as you're with them the entire time. Now that, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say every state's a little bit different. So it's really important to see what your state's laws are. Some of the age is 10. Some states have no minimum age. Some states have certain requirements as far as what big game animals you can hunt. So just make sure to really look into your state's mentorship program.
Totally. And so just diving in to some actual numbers. So give everyone a background on myself. I'm a school teacher. So I graduate college, but before I technically can get my degree, I have to go through a student teaching program where I'm actually a teacher, but I'm under the supervision of a teacher with a lot of experience. And so I go through a half a year program where I'm not getting paid, but I'm working full time. And that through that process, I have what's called a mentor teacher. And then even after I graduate from college and I get my first job in the teaching world, I am, through certain school districts, designated a mentor teacher to conversate with and check in on multiple times throughout the year and be there for a safety net or a support group or just to bounce ideas off of. And that is set up in the business world in public education. So before we dive into more mentorship, I want to kind of give some perspective that when we talk mentorship, it's not just taking somebody hunting. It is the concept that you are supporting them, it's not helping. We're not there to help people, because people are not helpless. We are there to support them from underneath and lift them up so that they can find their own success. We're not there to pull them up the mountain with us. And so mentorship is all about the support. And so just real quick, is knowledge does not equal understanding. And this is something that is often forgotten when it comes to hunting. Because in what I've experienced as an adult hunter that's only been in the game for 4 or 5 years, is that I could read all the books in the world on hunting, how-tos, watch how-to videos, and all this different stuff. But knowledge of what to do does not equal understanding of how to apply it. And that is where a mentor comes in huge. So to grasp complete knowledge and understanding, that comes from the ability to teach it to somebody else. So if you really want to challenge yourself to grow deeper and become a better hunter, the best way to do that is not to start pursuing the oldest game animals and really looking for the mature animals. It is to take your knowledge and teach it to somebody else, because not only are you going to be investing into the future, and that is where the mentorship is conservation, but that is where you are challenging and sharpening your own knowledge to make sure that you are still doing things right and holding yourself accountable to how things should be done. So what do you think about that, Jana?
No, I think that sounds great. It can be a little, I think one thing that people need to really remember is to not be not feel overwhelmed with, well, I've only been hunting a few years, and to take someone else out and mentor, I don't have enough knowledge. It doesn't have to be like that. It can, like you said, it's really spending time with someone. You know, like the National Wild Turkey Federation last year came out with a campaign, and it was a pledge for everybody to kind of take the pledge of taking someone new out into the field. And it's for exactly the reasons that you just mentioned, to be there for them, to support them with any questions, to let them know that there is no such thing as a dumb question, you know, to spend time with them and help them get the confidence to hopefully go out on their own or go out with other people and to dive fully into this passion that we all love. You know, I think it's critical, because that, like you and I've talked about on other podcasts, there are so many forces that be that are trying to take away our lifestyle and are trying to take away our hunting heritage in this country and to take away our guns and to take away predator hunting and slowly but surely trying to whittle away at our hunting rights. And if there are people making decisions who don't understand what our lifestyle is all about, that's scary. That's scary. And we are losing hunting license purchasers every year. And I think it's important. This is such an important topic for all of us to really sit and contemplate. Even myself, you know, I've been a big game hunter for, you know, almost 30 years, small game since I was, you know, since even before hunter safety, following my dad around. And I think it's an important concept that we all need to, even myself, who's, I'm crazy busy with Skullbound and now Skullbound Chronicles and all my things I'm passionate about, like my veteran hunts and conservation, that I really haven't done a lot of taking people on their first hunts. You know, I just got off a hunt in Wyoming where I donated a hunt to the Turkey Federation of come hunt with me, a Western hunt, a muley antelope hunt. And Christy Hubbard and her husband came to Wyoming. They purchased the hunt, donated the money to NWTF. And it was her first Western hunt, you know, of muley and antelope. But as far as taking someone brand new out there, I haven't done the best of that myself. And this podcast is a reminder for me that every year I need to commit to do that, to taking someone who is brand new out there to just spend time with and have them shadow me.
Yeah. Well, and like we talked about on the last edition of the Why series, is we're not shitting on you. We are just offering a perspective that is going to be potentially completely different than what you've ever thought about. You know, when you're standing too close to a picture, you can't see the whole thing. And so we got to be able to take that step back and see the whole picture and really, really chew it all up. So I want to throw some statistics out there for all you listeners and for people to really chew the fat on. And there was a study that was done in the Business News Daily that was done on is a 3,000 person study that said 76% of people in private industry found mentorship to be important. 18% were neutral and 8% said it was not important, which I find that was super interesting, that obviously 3 out of 4 people find mentorship like extremely important. And then there's these like outliers, but I guess there's always outliers when a study is done.
Right.
When it comes to the average length of mentorship in the business world, the average length is 3.3 years. And if you apply that to the hunting world, for a brand new hunter, how many years and seasons does it take until you finally are able to take your first animal, especially big game animals? And I would say right around that 3-year mark is where, you know, you really start making the huge success. And you see, I think is either my 3rd or 4th year I shot my first big game animal. So like I'm right there within that statistic. Yeah. In the science industry, 66% of people that work within the science field have a mentor. In government, 59% of people that work in government have mentors. In education, it's 57. And marketing, advertising, and PR, 56% of people have a mentor. And that is currently. And so one thing, especially because this is what I think You are such a wise person and an important part of the hunting community, Jana, because of what you do, what you stand for, but also because you're a female. So gender plays a huge role in mentorship. That 69% of women say that their mentor is a woman, and 82% of men say their mentor is a man. So, and so to think about that, in 2001, there was 1.8 million female hunters. In 2013, there's 3.3 million. So about 20% of hunters, one in five, is a female. And so this just goes to show that, especially looking at the same sex, it is a lot easier. I know my wife would be way more comfortable with me mentoring another male hunter rather than taking out a female out in the woods, and especially going on overnight trips and all this stuff, that it's very important for not just the men to mentor, but also the females, and to get out there and be advocates, because that is the future of what is going on. And then lastly, and this is a huge one, 9 out of 10 people who have mentors in a job are happy. So, yeah. So think about that. Like 9 out of 10 people who have had a mentor in a job are happy within their job. 9 out of 10 hunters who have had a mentor teach them are happy within the hunting world. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't have a mentor. I am happy. I'm one of those rare outliers, but there's a lot of people that get frustrated, give up and quit because they never had someone walk them through the steps necessary. And it's not even taking someone to a hunting location. It is, you know, taking them scouting, showing what to look for, how to look for it, how to find access to public land, how to find land to hunt, what it means and what it looks like to scout digitally and on maps. And that's the stuff that truly leads to success. Or maybe even go shooting with them, teach them how to shoot a gun, get safe with it.
Not only that, what I think is really important too is when you have a mentor who's been around, who's been a hunter a long time, you're going to be able to bounce questions off of them. Like, is it normal that I, you know, X, Y, Z, or is it normal that I didn't take out? How come I didn't see a 6-point bull opening day? When you look at social media, you know, social media is, you know, the best of the best. We all put our photos up there of, you know, our gripping grins and our proud moments. And you don't really see the mistakes as much as you should. You don't see the unnotched tags as much as you should. But when you have a mentor, you get a more realistic approach to hunting. And that is, you don't notch. I mean, I literally am coming off the most difficult hunting season I've ever had in my life. I have had 5 hunts go unnotched tags this fall. And for me, I mean, I hunt probably 12, 13 big game animals a year. I have big game tags a year. And it's just been super challenging, whether it's weather or I just didn't find mature animals, or, you know, time scheduling, you know, didn't have as many days in the field as I would like, or I'm, you know, and I now live alone. It's a lot harder for me to get out hunting big game animals by myself in the mountains as much as previous years. Whatever the circumstances would be, it's important to remember that that's normal. And you can have a mentor. If you could have a mentor by your side to say, no, that's, you know, you're not going to see, you're not going to see game every single time you go out. You're not going to notch a tag on every hunt. You're not going to be successful all the time. And that's normal. Those are the things that are so valuable, I think. You know, no, it's not realistic to shoot a 200-inch muley every year. It's not realistic to, you know, and especially with archery hunters, that's a whole nother aspect where, you know, I think that, I don't know if it's the same, but years ago, it was on average 7 years to success for most archers nationwide to notch a tag. Now that may have changed in the last decade.
No, I think that's still pretty accurate. I think the percentage has stayed the same.
So when you have a mentor, those are the kind of things you can talk about, the realistic, not the, you know, what are they, not everybody's highlight reel, like social media, you know, And I think that's really important to remember.
Yeah, you bring up two extremely important points that I want to just really dive more into. And the first is if you use social media as your mentor and how and what you should be doing things like that, then you are only seeing the best of the best, the good days. No one puts up their crappy shot on Instagram. No one's posting truly about how things went bad or went awry out in the field. They're only, mostly showing the highlights. And so if you're using that as your standard of hunting, you're going to be disappointed and likely give up and quit pursuing animals. The other thing is that you said now that you live alone, you find it harder to get out into the field and go hunting. And I think this is one of the biggest things that we need to address when it comes to mentorship and the growth of the hunting community, is that human beings are motivated by three things: sex, hunger, and the need to belong. And so we're not going to get the sex part from hunting. Who knows? You might find your hunting partner that way. But the hunger part, okay, you want to hunt. That feeds the hunger. That's a motivating factor. The third part is the need to belong. And you said now that you live alone, you find it harder to go out and hunt. Well, think about all the adults out there who are learning how to hunt or want to learn how to hunt, and they don't have a single hunting partner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's the mentorship. It helps get people going. It's so much easier. In the Bible, and I'm going biblical on you, it says one can chase 1,000, two can chase 10,000. When one falls down, the other is there to pick them up. It's a lot easier to do things when you have someone with you and supporting you. It's not even about hunting solo, because you'll get to that point in your own journey. It is about just having the support and being like, yes, you're doing it. You got it. You're on the right track.
Yeah, it's not about the capability. I mean, the capability aspect, yeah, clearly I know how to hunt. But it's not as fun to, go up into the mountains chasing bear, for example, which I did a couple of times this fall. And I'm packing my pack, and in my pack, I've got my emergency kit and my rain gear and my food and my water, and I've got my gun and I've got my camera and my tripod trying to self film. And it's just difficult. And then, what if I get a bear down? Well, that is going to be a lot of work, because you're going to have to debone, and you're going to have to pack head and hide out and all the meat out. And one, it is just with all the gear, it's just challenging. It's challenging. Mountain hunting is challenging on your own. Not to say you can't do it. Not to say I haven't done it. There's that physical aspect of it all. But the mental, it's so much more fun when you can share the experiences with somebody else, whether it is you taking a brand new mentor out or just sharing your favorite spots with a friend, it's just like anything. Life is more fun when you're sharing it with somebody. And, I've been on one of my favorite things in my entire life, and especially in this last decade, has been taking out veterans on not always disabled veterans, but I've taken 5 or 6 amputees on their very first elk hunt. And it has literally been life-changing for me to watch them go through the whole process, go through the week of learning. Like I just got off a hunt just a couple days ago, and I took Clint Romache. He's a Medal of Honor recipient. He is an amazing, amazing military hero. He's too humble to ever accept that title, but it's true. In fact, if you ever want to watch an amazing documentary, Netflix has a new series out called Medal of Honor. He is episode 2 on that series. His story is
cool.
But to be with him and kind of mentor him on his first elk hunt, it's so exciting, because I forget even the nuances of the hunt that are new to him. And we're literally battling minus 23 degree wind chill on our hunt, and hunting like, you step outside of the four-wheeler for 5 seconds and your face is frozen and your eyelids are getting frozen shut. And It was just brutally, brutally cold. We were going around a corner in the Polaris, and we look across the way, and there's this wonky bull. He's a 3x, but something's going on with his rack, and he looks kind of crazy. And Rose says to Rick, who is the main guide, hey, Rick, what's wrong with that bull? And Rick says, well, he's genetically inferior. He's just got something screwed up with his horns. And Rose said, well, will he ever grow into a big, mature bull? And Rick said, no, he's genetically messed up. He's never going to be a big, beautiful bull. And Ro goes, well, sounds perfect to me. Like, and it was so refreshing being with someone who looked at him like, hey, let's see, he's the kind of bull you want to take out of the herd. You know, he's not genetically going to be some big, beautiful bull. He's going to fill my freezer. I get to notch my tag. I get to watch the field dressing, you know, just the whole process. And you know, it's just another reminder of how fun it is to be with someone who's new to it all.
Yeah. I've recently had an opportunity. Well, actually, let me go give a full picture. When I decided to start Washington Backcountry, I took my brother off into some public ground just outside of Seattle, and we were predator hunting, weren't successful, and on that day ended up running into a hunter who was grouse hunting. He had a .22, was just kind of walking the woods, chatted with them, you know, wished them good luck, yada yada, moved on our separate ways. Started Washington Backcountry, and this guy ended up finding my account on Instagram, became a follower, realized that I was the person he met in the woods, and through this journey of me wanting to mentor and grow in my recruitment areas for hunters and all this, we've built quite the relationship because he's a brand new hunter, didn't have a whole lot of experience, and I've got to watch them over this last couple of years just really apply some knowledge that he's gained from talking to people and reaching out and people helping him and supporting him. And then through, you know, social engagements that I've been throwing, he was a part of that. He got to bring his son. Just really got to bond with this guy. And actually, you know what? For all you listeners out there, if you go to the website and go to the This Is How I Hunt series on Washington Backcountry's website and Soulful Hunter, he is the very first edition of the This Is How I Hunt series. So go check out his story. It's pretty cool. He just shot his very first big game animal this year, and it's been quite a ride. And I feel so honored to be a part of it. And I feel like I was a part of the hunt, even though I wasn't there.
Yeah.
He's talked to me multiple times about it. He was even willing to take out another new hunter just because he believes in the mission of mentorship is so important. And I'm like, dude, you cannot outgive good. You're always going to be rewarded for what you do as a positive impact upon this world. And here he is. He not only shot his first deer as a blacktail, but an absolute stud blacktail that many people will be drooling all over. And I'm like, here you go, man. Full circle. And I couldn't have been more proud just to even see the picture that he sent me.
Yeah, that is so cool. I've got another story too, real quick, I wanted to share. So I have been really lucky enough that when I moved to Montana, one of the first people I met was Ben Woolers. And his daughter, Taylor, and I have been on a lot of big game firsts together. Taylor and I went to Alaska black bear hunting when she was 10, and we stayed on a boat and hunted out of a skiff and got black bears together. I've been on mountain lion hunts with her. We went on both of our first moose hunt together in Alaska, where we took horses in and we backpacked and we camped, and, you know, there was a total backcountry adventure together. I took my dad on his first mule deer hunt, and Taylor and her dad were along. So it was a father-daughter thing. So I've been on a lot of amazing hunts with Taylor, who is now about to turn, I think, 17 in February. So she's just 16. I'm actually so excited. This December, I'm going to film an episode about Taylor. She's going to be one of the youngest to take the North American Big Ten She's only, I think her last animal out of the Big Ten is the buffalo that she's going to be hunting in December. But I'm going to do an episode about Taylor and her life as a 16-year-old girl who has been on so many amazing big game hunts. But the storyline is going to be about her and her hounds. She is her own houndsman. Her dad is a houndsman as well, but she has raised her own dogs and she goes mountain lion hunting with her own dogs. And even her dad said her dog, her main dog, is one of the best dogs he's ever seen work. And I think it's just, it's neat. And it kind of ties into that topic that we're talking about. I didn't teach Taylor necessarily the skills. Her dad did that, but to just share in the experiences with her. And even though I'm a lot older than her, you know, but still woman to woman and kind of being able to share in all these amazing adventures with her and to see her being her own houndsman now and carrying on the hunting heritage. And it's just going to be a really cool episode that I'm really excited about, but it just ties back into that idea you and I were talking about of just like feeling a part of someone's hunt is reward in and of itself. And as you and your friend, you were talking about, he got his first blacktail and he's going to have many more to come. You guys will grow up literally sharing hunting stories and, oh, remember when we met on the mountain and we were both new and that kind of thing. Taylor and I have that too. And she's going to be a powerhouse. I mean, that girl has more knowledge about hunting than most adults I know. And it's just fun to be a part of it.
Yeah, it is the failures that breed success and make you just gain so much more knowledge. Because if you're just successful every time, you wouldn't understand how you went about reaching that end destination. So,
you and I talked earlier too, before we recorded, about like, this has been a really, really challenging year for me. But like you'd mentioned, you said, well, I bet you're taking away from it different things. And yeah, you're absolutely right. Like if you're not successful in notching that tag, doesn't mean you weren't successful on the hunt. Like, what are you taking away from it? Well, you know, I did a backcountry Utah hunt with Dee and Paul Servi, two of my best friends this year, and none of us notched a tag, but I just remember walking that, you know, 4.5-5 mile walk out and just feeling so connected with them and being so grateful, feeling so grateful for those kind of friends, the kind of friends who just, you know, have your back and you just absolutely feel connected to. And this season has really made me just appreciate the friendships that I've got and the time I get to spend with amazing people, you know, in the great outdoors. And those are the kind of things you learn through the mentoring or the friendships in the field.
Oh, totally. You know, I want to take this time right now to challenge every hunter who is a veteran out there to maybe, if you are able to take some animals and fill your freezer early in the season, maybe you spend the second half of your season taking people out. Maybe you're mentoring others. Or I've met through different conversations a lot of people who have just quit hunting because they've more or less killed enough animals that they feel satisfied, or they've kind of moved out of that. Well, the progression is learning, teaching, and then you go back to learning. And so if you are moving your way out of not necessarily having to shoot an animal, but you love being out in the field and being a part of the hunt, mentorship is what you are needing in your own life, and especially something that is going to just rejuvenate your soul and to get you out there and to make you love it and give back to hunting even more.
I love it. One other thing too that is sort of along the same lines is I would encourage people to, if they're not a member of a conservation group in their area, join one and then ask someone who you might not think would be interested in going to the banquet. It's just a dinner. You know what I mean? It's just a dinner. Usually most banquets, whether it's Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, Mule Deer Foundation, Turkey Federation, Safari Club, there are banquets every single town and city. You know, join a conservation group, buy the dinner tickets, go to the banquet, but then invite some, maybe your neighbors or maybe your friends who don't hunt, but you think you'd have a fun time with them going out to dinner or to the banquet. You know, that's a great way to sort of introduce people into the hunting community. And maybe they'll win a gun. Like, there's a lot of gun raffles and camo prizes and binoculars. And you know what those banquets are like. I would encourage everybody to try and do that because it's a really fun event. The money goes back to conservation. And it's an easy way to invite friends who may be new to hunting to sort of see what it's like and to immerse themselves for a night into sort of what our culture is all about.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And now I'm going to build upon that even more is throw your own events, people. I was brand new to hunting and yet I had no community. So what did I do? I decided to go to a local brew pub and say, hey, can I reserve the back room this night, and hit social media up and said, hey, everyone, come join Washington Backcountry for a community building event and share stories and talk hunting. Well, through that, it grew. The very first time there's like 13 people, then it was like 40 people. Last time we had over 50 people at our event. So awesome. And it's just, all you're doing is creating your own community, but it takes the courage and the vulnerability to put yourself out there. And if you're in the Washington area or within the Pacific Northwest, or you even want to fly in, we're going to be having the Washington Backcountry Soulful Hunter next community event is going to be Friday, December 6th, I believe, is the time is 7 to 10 p.m. at Big E Ales in Linwood, Washington. So come join myself as well as all the team members at Washington Backcountry and a lot of other hunters to come share stories, build community. I've invited the Washington State Department of Fish and Wildlife to come in and be a part of helping hunters. And just take it upon yourself. Don't be so shy as to be afraid to reach out and ask. One of the things is, like, if you're going to a brew pub or you're going to a restaurant, shoot it out there on social media. Say, hey, I'm going here. Any hunters want to come meet me and chat hunting and talk stories and all that? You'll be amazed at what fire starts just from that little spark that you're throwing out there.
I love it. I love it. That's so cool. Way to build community, like you said. That's so awesome.
Heck yeah, it's what we're all about here at the Soulful Hunter. We are taking care of people's souls one by one.
I love it.
So, Jana, thank you so much for joining us on the third chapter of the Why series. And just, is there anything else that we feel like we're leaving out that everyone needs to hear?
You know, not off the top of my head. They'll just have to tune into the next podcast.
That's how I love that. Stay tuned, everybody. It's going to be getting better and better as we go. I do want to say one thing is, do not hesitate to reach out to myself. And I don't want to speak for Jana, but I would totally understand that you get back to everyone. But if you have questions, reach out to us. We are here for you. I don't do this podcast because I like sitting in a room by myself talking to a microphone. I do it because I want to engage with people. So if you have questions, you have comments, you have topics that you want us to address within the Why series or on future podcasts, reach out to us. We are here. We are your community.
I love it.
Yeah. So, well, until the next time, this is going to be Aaron here in the month of November. We'll get another one in December, and then we'll be kicking off 2020 here before you know it. So what's your next adventure you got going on, Jana?
I still have a deer and elk tag here in Montana, so hopefully I'll be able to get out a little bit about that. But I'm super excited. I'm going to Wisconsin to deer hunt with my dad for the opener the weekend before Thanksgiving. And it's just so much fun. We all get together at his cabin in the woods, and whether we notch tags or not, we have a great time. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Oh man, that's so awesome. I am officially getting out hunting for the very first time besides my one day August doe trip that I had. I'm going to go try to fill 4 turkey tags and get my Thanksgiving turkey, my Christmas turkey, and all my extra days, as well as a late rifle deer hunt over in Eastern Washington here in a couple weeks. So I'm super excited. My soul has just been hungering for the adventure and getting out, and it's going to be happening here pretty soon.
Fantastic. Well, best of luck, and I'll be watching for your pictures.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Jana, you're amazing. Everyone, don't forget to subscribe and leave a review on iTunes. We look forward to talking with you again, and hopefully your life is being transformed through the primal adventure of what hunting can provide. Once again, I'm Johnny Mack, Gianna Waller. Thank you, everyone. Have a good one. If you enjoyed today's podcast, I'd love it if you could go ahead and give this a rating as well as subscribe. Also, you can check us out on Instagram under the Soulful Hunter Podcast. Make sure to tag us in pictures and posts and use the hashtag Soulful Hunter. To find out more about the Soulful Hunter Podcast, go to soulfulhunter.com and be sure to follow the podcast as we are going to be bringing you a lot of great information, insight, and changing lives through primal adventure. I look forward to connecting with you on the next episode. Stay tuned and stay soulful.